I don't know why I'm freaking out a little. I feel whenever it's like time to record, like the first like 2 minutes are the hardest,
I
I
know, it just
think.
feels awkward also to like talk to the ether as if it's an audience when it's... But it is like if it was a room full of people, it would be a lot of people in a room. Maybe.
Would actually be a lot of
Like a
people. I never thought of
crowded
that.
party,
Although, do you
crowded house
think
party.
how many? I mean, if it's a really small house, I
If it's a
feel.
really small house or like a crowded studio apartment party.
You can't judge a good book by its cover. You can't tell, dear, if it's good or bad. The cover may be in the brightest color, but inside the story may be sad.
Welcome to Pause, Play, Repeat, the podcast about podcasts. I'm Saga.
And I'm Anya.
And today we're talking about North Korea, hackers, cybercrime, criminals, and how incredibly sophisticated the North Korean army of hackers actually is. And they attempt to get away with one of the biggest money heists in all of history. It's Lazarus Heist.
Imagine you were going to break into a bank and try to steal $1 billion. How would you pull it off?
Well, first, you need to assemble the right crew.
These attackers have no fear.
They started out on the streets.
Stolen cars, counterfeit pharmaceuticals, weapons, crystal meth deal. They would have killed me had they found out.
But then they took their crime online.
They have their own kind of laptops. They kind of live in what you would call like a hacker warehouse or a hacker dorm.
The door opened. It was just dead silence. And that's when I discovered that this was known as the hacker hotel.
They turned the internet into a battleground.
So Lazarus Heist, it's basically that. It's a podcast. It kind of gives some background about North Korea, but it also talks about the Lazarus Group, which is a group of hackers, and they're connected to North Korea. And we sort of figure out how are they connected? How does it work in North Korea with hacking? And we sort of get a glimpse into the criminal world of the North Korean government. Don't come after us. Okay. So Lazarus Heist is produced by the BBC World Service. The hosts are Jean Lee, who is a journalist, a North Korea expert, and she started the AP Bureau in North Korea, and Jeff White, who is an investigative journalist at the BBC, and he's their leading technology specialist. So he is sort of a pro on hacking and things like this. So, Anya, North Korea. This might sound like a strange question to anyone who doesn't know our backstory. But do you have, what's your encounter with North Korea? Do you have a North Korean encounter story? I seem to remember either you or your parents went there.
We did. All of us went there. So me and my parents.
No way. You were there too?
Yeah, I was. I was there. I did travel there. I was there with my parents. So, I mean, because I live in a country that literally borders North Korea, the North Korean encounters are actually not as kind of crazy here. And yeah, I did go there. I didn't go as a tourist, which is probably, that's a weird thing. Once you say to people that you've been to North Korea, the implication is that you have somehow supported the regime. Travel to North Korea, you have to be quite careful with how you do it and who do you give money to and how you spend your money there. And so we didn't go as tourists. We stayed in the embassy and we were very careful with how we spent our money and what we did. So
what
I was
do you remember? Like, was it very, very different from the rest of the world?
Yeah, so we were, so my parents, obviously my parents have grown up in the USSR. My parents expected it to be quite like the USSR that they grew up in. But what they found was actually that it was more like USSR of like the 50s or 40s. Which they have, they don't remember. Obviously, they weren't around then. Yeah. I mean, we had to wake up really early, even though we weren't in the embassy. I remember water being shut off at around 8 o'clock. And so we had to wake up really early to all be able to shower. We also, there's only one, I think it's called Paradise Supermarket or Heaven Supermarket. And they're not, they even mention it in the podcast, actually. Jin Lee mentions it in the podcast. And it's the one place where you could go and get goods. And we had... So we used to just like buy food from there because we could use our currency there, and which was US dollars, I believe. And then we would like make literally just like noodles with But that was kind of what we lived off. So yeah, it was very different. It definitely felt like we could go around by ourselves. We don't know, obviously, I don't know if anybody was watching us. We could go around from the embassy and like walk down the square by ourselves and so on. People would come up to us and speak Russian to us because we were speaking Russian amongst ourselves. There were children that came up to my mother and sang the Soviet national anthem. And my mom had to tell them that the Soviet Union was no longer a thing. I mean, we've had many stories from that time. And I remember it really, really well, because obviously it was so different from every other holiday that we've taken. And I cried at least twice. But we were there for quite a long time. We were there for maybe 5 days, 6 days, quite a long time. Going there as a tourist, I know many people from China go to the Pyongyang Marathon. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how I feel about tourism to North Korea, honestly. I find it really hard to articulate this, but basically I think I wouldn't say that this is a place that you should be afraid of in a way that, like, it's not exotic to go to North Korea. It's not like a thing that everybody should try and do just because it's like a cool, it's like, I have a really big problem, for example, people going to Chernobyl.
Yeah, well, it's exotifying people's pain and it's commodifying people's pain. Also, mm-hmm. I remember someone mentioning that there's these sort of major booze cruises to North Korea, people just partying. That to me feels profoundly, profoundly horrific and just super, like one of the most unethical things I could just even ever imagine. So, yeah. Okay, but the podcast itself, the hosts, I think Jean Lee offers an invaluable perspective to this podcast. I mean, without her, there would be nothing. We don't even realize, but it's the kind of little details that only someone who's been there and been there for so long and knows the situation so well could be able to give us. I mean, things like when the computers sort of first come to North Korea en masse, she talks about the CNC, I think it's called CNC propaganda song. It's sort of an ode to the computer systems propaganda song. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you only really know when you were actually living there. She's able to give us a lot of perspectives of her colleagues and her North Korean colleagues and what they thought about a lot of stuff. And obviously, I think North Koreans are a people that are incredibly, incredibly dehumanized in Western media. And I think to have her be like, oh, I had a colleague who used to joke about this, you know, I think that is so important because we need to put a human aspect to North Korean people. And she was able to do that. And I think that was really important. How did you feel about Jeff White's position in the podcast and sort of what he brought to the podcast?
I mean, I really enjoyed their like synergy, I guess, not synergy, like their energy, the way that they talk to each other and stuff. I think they're really good pairing. They have a really good, like, they do, it was really nice that they were together. I think without either of them, it probably wouldn't have been as interesting because they come at it from different points of view, where he comes from more of a tech and different industry understanding, and she comes from with this expertise about the actual country. Biggest thing for me was always, because like I had all of this background, it wasn't really like who did it or why, it was the how, like the question of how does one do this. The heist itself, like the mechanics behind the heist, I thought they were just so it's the most eye-opening part of the podcast, that was for sure. Like, I have no idea how to money launder, not that I do now. I do not know how to money launder. Let me just state that fact. And I mean, even Jeff White had to be like, this is common knowledge. I mean, it's on the internet. And I was like, yeah, I don't think this is common knowledge, but you're right. It is like, I guess if my Google search comes up with how to money launder, I'm pretty sure somebody will be coming knocking on my door. But so I think about their tone of voice, I think both of them have this very gentle and almost educational kind of atmosphere about them. And about Jeff White, like one thing that I've noticed, I mean, I really think Jin Lee is amazing. I've really, really, really liked how she did this whole show, and so did Jeff. But the funny thing that I thought Jeff White always did is that he would always like point out when he used a pun. Have you noticed that? They would be in a casino and then be like, if they play their cards right, literally, like, I get it, Jeff.
I get it. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah. Good job. And I think he did it like a couple of times. What did you think?
I mean, Jeff White, as you said, very talented, obviously, but in a podcast about North Korea, to give it any sort of, to make it enrich your knowledge of North Korea in any way, of course you need someone who's been there and has this in-depth knowledge. Mm-hmm. Jeff White, I feel like he's obviously so talented. He's an investigative journalist. We can hear that he is doing a lot of these interviews, actually, so we hear his voice. But I think maybe they used him a bit badly, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like they could have almost brought in his expertise a little more. It felt a little like when it was the North Korean part, he would sort of ask Jean Lee, hey, Jean, like, how does this work? Or what was your experience? Mm. But when it's more the tech side, it's just him sort of explaining to us how the story went. But they could have structured it a bit more so that she asked him questions like, okay, but what is this malware? Or, you know, so it felt a little bit like she was bringing her expertise to the table. He was bringing his too. I do think also for the tone of voice, yeah, it makes me wonder who this podcast was meant for. The very end, the last episode, one thing they say is, if you know someone who doesn't listen to podcasts, recommend this to them, which we've discussed before on this podcast, that quite a lot of podcasts are trying to get non-podcast listeners in. And I think that might explain a little bit why they really are speaking to you with a tone of voice that is a little sort of assuming you know nothing, which I don't think is inherently wrong, but I think there's a certain way you can go about that. There's a lot of things like, remember when we said this, and that's right, it went straight to the blah, you know, and you can give background and you can assume people don't know. I think that's fine. And I think it's good to give background. As I said, I don't know that much about a lot of this stuff, but I think you can include it, just sort of quickly mention it, quickly give that background without sort of maybe having that tone of voice that's very sort of explaining something, like really explaining, like a teacher explains to a student kind of style, I guess you could say.
Exactly.
And I think also the tone of voice, it was very dramatic. There was a lot of sort of, and the next person we meet was the weirdest person of this whole story. And it proceeded to be someone who was interesting, but I didn't think they were the most important person in the whole story. I thought there were other people who were more interesting or who were more intriguing. So it was quite obvious that they were maybe trying to have all these hooks and to have this tone of voice that's really maybe meant for to pull someone in who isn't a podcast listener, perhaps, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. But did you have any problems with this podcast? Was there anything that you felt maybe was, did you have any problems with it?
I think we talked about this before, and you and I just talk about this all the time. I think it's the idea of duality, like in everybody's thoughts and opinions, and that gets a little bit muddled sometimes. So, you know, obviously, like I already said 1500 times, but essentially some people just do not have the agency to make decisions. Like people in the world, we all have different powers in like our vicinity, in our space, and we have different influence and so on. But some people's agency is very, very limited. And that is not something that they would kind of choose through their own agency. Like they never had that choice. But does that make them more complicit in their wrongdoings or less? I'm really not sure that there is a question, like this is a question that really has an answer. And I'm not really sure that this podcast, like they kind of pose that question, but I feel like their answer perhaps is complicit in their wrongdoings. And I don't know how I feel about that because I have a brain that thinks both thoughts at the same time.
Because sort of what we're talking about is there's about two, maybe three episodes where it's sort of what they're talking about is, was this hacker for the North Korean government a cyber warrior, i.e. he was kind of working with the government and he's culpable and he's a criminal, or was he a cyber slave? Was he sort of, you know, part of this regime where he had no choice and he was just forced to do this for the regime and he's a victim?
So I think the case of the North Korean hacker Park Jin-hok is kind of a really good example. So I would connect this. So in essence, they figured out that there was this one guy who was hacking, who was behind this attack. And they're trying to kind of figure out, maybe he's happy with his, you know, what he's done, maybe he's not, but does he have a choice? Is he a criminal? Like, he's being, you know, he's on the FBI watch list, all of these things. And I think I kind of want to, and they talk about the next case that they talk about at the end of the podcast is the WannaCry hacker, which is Marcus Hutchins. And I think drawing a parallel between these two people is quite interesting, actually, because one person, so Park Jin-hok, we don't know how much agency he has over his decision-making, because fleeing North Korea is a very, very difficult, incredibly dangerous thing to do. So we don't know if that is really, I don't know if we can even consider that a choice. So he ends up being this hacker. Marcus Hutchins on the other side, who helped the NHS with their malware, who basically essentially saved the NHS from this virus. He has, we find out later, he has also done shady things and he's gone to prison for them. So, and he admits to them, but he also saves people. He changed his mind, you know, he did something right. And he is very open about the fact that he's also done things that were wrong. So a hacker who works for the regime, and as they say, who might be the most successful victim, I'm not sure. And, you know, this hacker who has the agency and has done bad things and who actually gets given the time to tell his story, you know, we still think that Marcus Hutchins is a good guy because he's done something right, because he's had a choice to do something right. But the most successful victim, I'm not sure if he ever had a choice to do something else. So I think those two things, like those two are never compared. And I kind of, to me, I was like, wait, they're going to like connect these two points and then we're going to intersect and talk about them and the differences between, you know, what our birthright even has, you know, like, what does that mean? What does that mean? So
yeah,
I think that was my problem. My problem was that I think they had the both examples there for them to discuss. Yeah. It just falls short, where I was just like, oh guys, that was such a good point. I think it's a good point. What do you think?
I think it's an amazing point. No, I didn't even think about that, but like you're 100% right. I also think that sort of cyber warrior versus cyber slave dichotomy, I just didn't, like, they became preoccupied with sort of figuring out the moral culpability of this hacker, which, if you know, is he a victim, is he a criminal, I just didn't think that dichotomy was necessary. I don't think you even really need to come to a conclusion there. I don't think we need to sort of pass a moral judgment on this person. There are so many forces at play, there is so much going on. Of course, I don't want to deny this person agency as a human being in the world. At the same time,
this is not like
if you or me became hackers, this is not the same. This is an incredibly different situation, and I just don't think it's a necessary question to ask, like, was he to blame? Like, well, I mean, if you're he's not the problem. You know, so I just think maybe this sort of moralism, we love to add sort of morals to people who do bad things, and maybe that's kind of what they're trying to, this little spice they're trying to add to the podcast, which I didn't really think was necessary, perhaps. And they do go into that. They do mention, you know, of course, they talk about what happens to defectors, to their family. They have a very, very heartbreaking story. They obviously are trying to show you, like, this, you know, this person doesn't really have a choice. But I just think the premise of the question was a bit unnecessary. But I do want to talk about a little bit about how North Korea is depicted in Western media, because this is something, you know, we're talking about a Western podcast talking about North Korea. So I think it's relevant to bring up. So I'll just mention to you what makes me annoyed. I feel like the way the North Korea is depicted by the West so often, including movies like The Interview, which is partly why I never wanted to watch it, it's because I feel like the West loves to depict Kim Jong-un as this huge, silly buffoon who's just so stupid and such a buffoon, and he's so silly, and look at his dumb haircut. And I just feel like this is a dangerous criminal who oversees the oppression and murder of millions of people. And I think somehow, if you think that millions of people under the oppression, being oppressed by a big buffoon, somehow to me implies that you think all these people who are being oppressed are somehow to blame for their oppression. And I feel like there's almost a racist notion here that the reason the North Koreans would ever be oppressed by such a silly character like this, a sort of comedic character who's worthy of being in a Hollywood comedy, is because somehow they wouldn't even be able to, even a buffoon could control them. And I don't know, because I understand also, of course, that there is a power in laughing and ridiculing someone who wields so much power. Of course there is, like, but I do feel like so often Western media, Western people, they overlook the situation for locals and they just focus on the ridicule of the leader, which I feel like is a little bit of a way for the West to kind of feel like they're not culpable, or there is nothing they can do for the people themselves, because, oh, but the leader is just silly and he's not even worth taking seriously, when actually what is going on is very serious. I don't know. How do you feel about this? And how do you think this podcast fits into that?
I mean, definitely because Jin Lee was there, they definitely have a lot more nuance when they're talking about the regime and when they're talking about the country. But it does, like, I do agree with you that I think the media, like English language media, Western media, however you want to call it, there is this idea of kind of like this like victimhood versus like survivor. And it's almost like, you know, there is this idea of like a good and a bad immigrant, right? And it feels like there is a good and a bad oppressive regime. Like sometimes you're just like, oh, you know, this is kind of like the oppressive regime that like nobody wants to talk about. And it's so bad that it's just like, let's just leave it alone. But then there are places where there are like worth fighting for. So yeah. And the leader thing and like all of our stereotypes definitely fit into that. But maybe it is because also we just don't know enough, you know, these stereotypes are born from this limited information.
Yeah, no, definitely. But something I did think, which I like that this podcast is able to do in terms of that sort of like old stereotype of North Korea or the North Korean government, is I think it is able to show how incredibly sophisticated the North Korean government is. So it sort of takes away a little bit of that, this buffoonery, like these are just silly comical characters, because it is able to show you the sort of technical expertise that they have, this industrial complex of hackers that they've been able to set up, the sort of sophistication and the sort of criminal sophistication of this government. And I think that is able to sort of hack away, or, you know, chip away a little bit of this sort of buffoonery image that I think the West has, to show you this is a force that is dangerous. And unfortunately, I think a lot of times the West only realize something is bad when it affects them themselves. And so maybe if it's the sort of oppression of North Korean people, they can't even comprehend, or it's too much, or it's so far away. But, you know, when this government is able to attack the NHS and cause problems in Western countries, then you realize the scope of this government's power and the scope of this government's sort of dangerous power and sophistication. And it maybe makes you in a way respect them more, to fear them more.
Totally.
So yeah, but if we're gonna go into, because I was gonna ask like what did you like about this podcast, but maybe we kind of discussed that, or do you want to sort of just like go through quickly what you liked about it, just like boom boom boom?
I mean, okay, I boom boom boom, so is this part of the boom ranking?
So okay, boom it out with bullet points and then boom it out with the booms.
Okay, so I think the thing that I really loved about it, okay, the music is amazing. I know you're going to love it.
Okay, right? Wait, but hold on a second. So the music is amazing. Can we also, the badass music, and can we also do a shout out to the badass Piri flute?
Yeah, yes.
The fucking Piri flute, it's called a guanzi in Chinese or in Mandarin. It's originally a Northwestern Chinese instrument. The guanzi definitely to me sounds like also slang for a penis. So if any of our Mandarin listeners want to confirm if guanzi is slang for penis, let me know. But it's also the name of this Piri flute. It's called Piri flute in Korean. It's badass. Just like it's really cool.
Why do we even have music on this podcast? We could just have you just whatever you're doing with your mouth. Just all of these noises are amazing. So that's my number one point. Music, fucking awesome. Second point is I really liked the expertise that was brought in. And my third point is that, my God, like the way that they explained a heist, and again, I do not know how to money launder, I promise, but it was really clear. Like that was the first time I've ever somebody explained, like it's the first time somebody explained something to me that has to do with money and like these really big transactions and stuff, and I actually understood it. Because usually people talk to me about money and I'm like, okay, mind shutting down now. But this one, like, and this is why I'm talking to you from a closet. But but this time I actually understood things and it actually made me feel like, oh, it's not that complicated. All you have to do is listen to Lazarus Heist, is what I'm going to say. I'm not going to repeat how to launder money because I still don't understand. But at least I understood in the moment. And that was really great.
Yeah. Correct. Exactly. But what are your booms for this week? What is your rating?
Ooh, my rating is, I feel like I want to give 3 booms to Jean Lee, just like her alone, just 3 booms. She gets 3 booms, just straight up, just 3. Jean, you go.
Yeah.
Essentially, I think my boom ranking is quite high. I would give it a 4 or a 4.5. I'm taking away points because I thought the beginning of the Sony hack was quite long. And I essentially, I don't know how much of the Sony hack was the podcast. Like, I feel like the podcast is so much bigger than the Sony hack. And I almost wanted to get to the next bit. That was so much more interesting. Yeah. And the only other reason I'm taking away points is probably because I just like could have used that song for longer. No, I'm joking. I just really love that song. Just
the song. Yeah. Because they play the song at the end and then Jeff interrupts to give the credits. I'm like, Jeff, no, stop.
There's a lot of shout outs to Jeff.
Yeah, I think 4 sounds good. Let's go for it. 4. Yes. Boom, 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 boom. So do you have a recommendation, a podcast recommendation for this week?
I do. I'm coming to you with an Australian podcast. The podcast itself is called Tough Love and it's Linda Murray-Gugliano. Their third episode and it's called How to Win Your Life. And it's about how our identity is so intertwined with our work and what we can do about it. So it's a very good one. It's kind of therapeutic. You listened to her talk to her dad about this and why, like, how can we detangle the profession versus identity? And I think we could all use a little bit of detangling, just separating, setting those boundaries. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a really good one. So I'd recommend it.
Cool. Nice.
You?
I'm going to recommend Heavyweight, which is a Gimlet podcast, Spotify now, or, you know, Spotify Gimlet. Produced podcast with Jonathan Goldstein, used to work at This American Life. Now it's a podcast that he hosts. Basically, he's sort of a mediator. People come to him with past grudges, past issues they've had with certain people, and he tries to sort of fix that problem in a way. He's kind of a pseudo therapist, but he's very funny, very wry humor, very ridiculous humor. The episode I'm going to recommend is called Joey. It's about a sort of young, he's a guy in his young 20s, and he's just very sweet and very awkward and just very shy. And so it creates lots of miscommunications. He gets in lots of troubles with his roommates and he needs someone to come in to sort of help him figure out what went wrong. Some of the Heavyweight episodes are very poignant and very sort of deep stuff. It's just a really good podcast. But you can start with Joey and then get into some of more of the heavier stuff.
Yeah.
Great. That's it for us this week. But remember, you can follow us everywhere at PausePlayRPod on Twitter, PausePlayRepeatPodcast@gmail.com, and PausePlayRepeat on Instagram and Facebook. It's not that hard, people. It's just our name. And Twitter is just our name with an R. But you'll figure it out. You're smart, people. You found this. And all permission for the sound bites we use in this podcast were given by the BBC World Service, and they're sound bites from the trailer, just so you know. So, yeah.
Go listen to Lazarus Heist. And listen to us.
Go listen to Lazarus Heist.
Yeah, and we'll see you. I always say we'll see you. We never see you. You never see us. You just hear us. So we will speak to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.